welcome to episode 22 of Caithness Craft Collective. This week sees us out of 2010 and heading towards 2011 at 1,000 miles an hour, and I'll start off by wishing you all the best for 2011. The blather this week is about being fickle. We have the Scottish segment, which will focus on Hogmanay and Auld Lang Syne. I have the news and the hellos, and I've got a book review from Rennie McIntosh's Inspiration in Embroidery by Dorothy Wood. Also, the textile technique is about water-soluble fabric. I'll let you have all the links in the show notes that come with the place you download this from, so relax and get the links later. Now, get your New Year's dram and your craft, and I'll tell you what a crack is in Caithness this week.
Now for the blather.
The blather. Fickle. The song this episode is Mumford & Sons' Awake My Soul. As the lyrics go, how fickle my heart, how woozy my eyes. I've chosen this subject as this line spoke to me quite a lot, and I have been listening to the Mumfords an awful lot on my MP3 player. It's no good to run to on the treadmill, but it's brilliant to spin to. I would love to see them playing live, as they look like they're having a good time. As ever, go check out the link on YouTube, or find it yourself. You're a big girl. Or a boy. Even treat yourself to it on iTunes this week, because things are free. Well, they are if you've got an iPad or an iPod, of which I don't. I have decided that I am a bit fickle. I recently listened back to the earlier episodes of my own podcast, yes, it is the Me Show, and I was adamant that I wasn't going to spin, nor buy fleece, or take on more round robins than I could cope with, and I have also joined Twitter. So therefore, I am fickle. The definition of fickle is an adjective which is characterised by erratic changeableness or instability, especially with regard to affections or attachments. And to top it all, I get a Christmas cracker for Christmas dinner, which is something I don't normally do, I hadn't done before, but I thought, well, the bairns are old enough now to appreciate them, and I was right, because they had great fun with them. And there was the magic fish. You know the fish-shaped plastic that curls up when you put it on your hand? The head moves, you're mad. If the tail moves, you're mad. If the head and the tail moves, you're extra mad. These aren't actually correct, but I can't remember what they are now. So when I had it, the fish curled up on both sides, which said I was fickle. Not mad, no, fickle. Ah, fate, hello. I get a bit fickle when it comes to projects as well. I mean, I have a bit of start-itis sometimes, and I have to force myself to get the finish-itis. I get distracted easily when I see something else that I simply must make, or simply must buy, or there's a new yarn or a new fabric come out. Or then I get bogged down if I make a mistake, or I don't understand the pattern. And I think, is this ever going to end? I think I'm a project knitter rather than a process knitter. I like the finished object rather than the actual process of doing it. Well, I like doing it, but not as much as the fact that I finished it. I was then thinking, I like cross-stitch, and I would laboriously stitch away doing a project, but I would normally do a small project, then a big project, then a small project, then a big project. I've actually still got the sampler that I started for my own wedding in 2002. I bought it in 2000 to be finished in time for the wedding. And it comes out every January, and it tends to go away in March. And don't you look at me that way. I know you've all got something lurking unfinished in your own stash of craftiness. And if you haven't, you will now, because it is the knitting law. So put whatever it is you're working on and come bring it back out in 10 years' time. New Year is approaching. It's a time for looking back at the year that's ended and looking forward to the year ahead. Did you have a good 2010? I hope you did, because I have. After a very rough start with the business, we have gone on to being one of the businesses to watch in the Highlands of Scotland. Most of this obviously is down to my lovely husband's tenacity and hard work, but I will take credit for the smiling part at All Energy. Lots of lessons have been learnt and continually being learnt and yet to be learnt, as business does never stand still. Oh no, not for this government and economic climate. You see, for the past few years we had actually been working for a single client, but when the client pulled our plug due to having a hard time itself overseas, we were left without a main source of income. That's not very nice when you don't know how you're going to put nappies on your bairn. Anyway, not one to lie about, we now have several big clients and several littler clients and several beady clients, and all of them, I thank you very much for your business this year, and may you be fruitful next year also. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Next year, we hope to build on this year's success, and I will be taking you all along with me for the ride, so get your oilskins on because it might get wet. I'm not fickle in the business. I don't think I am. I never am at work, because work is work and home stuff is not. Bairns can be fickle over toys, programmes, friends. They're just little sponges of learning, and sometimes it may come across as being fickle and fluttering from one to another. But it's just learning, making mistakes or successes and finding out about the big world. I hope you all had a very good Christmas, because we did, and my favourite bit was when after the bairns had opened all their presents, they went through to the Santa webcam snow globe and shouted, "Thank you, Santa. I have trained him well." Now, that's "How Fickle My Heart" part of the Mumford song. Now for the "How Woozy My Eyes." I reckon this is not conjunctivitis. I reckon this is the 2 glasses of white wine I've just had. Well, it was when I wrote the script. I am now slightly hungover reading it. Sorry, Mum. Life is sometimes just that bit rosier with a glass of wine in you. Not that I drink much or often, and I certainly won't be drinking for a few days anyway. After having the bairns, I stop completely. And as I'm the one that gets up with them mostly, then there's no point having enough to give me a sore head. I like a wee glass with dinner, but not much more. And I think I'm the only wigger that can't hold their drink. You really don't need drink to have a good time anyway, because the Vimto party night proved that. And have you listened to the Nitwits yet? I caught up with about 4 episodes of them recently, and they have a "What's in your wine glass" section. They like their wine and they know what's what. I'm no use with wine, I keep thinking, I must write that down their suggestion before I go to the shop, and I never ever do. I think I was 34 before I realised that my drink of choice was Pinot Grigio. That was only last year. I could pick it out because it had a big P and a big G on its label. The clue was in the name. It's not refined or clever, and it's not big, but it's the one that I like. Have you ever crafted with a wee drink inside you? This is not recommended for using sewing machines, needle felting, dyeing, sharp scissors, or knitting and crocheting a pattern. No, I have not done it, Mum. I'm just doing a public service announcement here. You could try drawing, as it might make your eyes all woozy and you could get interesting results. But don't blame me if you start drawing all over the table or the dog. Oh, now, we have tried the plum and the apple vodka that we made. It's very nice with tonic. When I was down in Oban this week, I was offered father-in-law's strawberry vodka. And I said, "Oh, just a wee one, please, but do you have lemonade or tonic?" And he said, yes, I think we have tonic, but it might be a little bit out of date." So I scrunched up my eyes. How out of date? "Well," he said, "I got this when I was in Pontrydyfyn in Wales, back in this point." I'm looking at my husband thinking, "You were born when they were in Wales in Pontrydyfyn. 1974. "What?" Wheel wailed. "That's older than me and 1 year younger than hubby." Then father-in-law said, "But then I did buy it the Christmas before you were born, son, so that's 1972. Pause for effect. "So," I said, "I think that's a little bit out of date for me, thank you. You should really chuck that out. Do you want me to do it for you if you feel like you can't?" He said, "Oh no, it might come in useful." So he said, "Not only have you had that bottle since 1972, you have moved it from 5 houses. He said, "Even better than that, I have 4 bottles of it." And it's a genuine Schwartz Indian tonic water in a glass bottle. I didn't have the heart to chuck it for him because it's really cool and retro looking. I was also wondering if anybody would buy it for a collection somewhere or to put in a period drama. Anyway, we took photographs of it and put it on Facebook. And that would definitely make your eyes go woozy. Well, if your heart is fickle and your eyes are woozy, the Mumfords have a song about you. But just don't get woozy hearts and fickle eyes, because it's not very poetic. Okay, moving on. Warning, if you need a pee stop, then come back, because it's time for the Daisy Laugh. Right, we have sending get well wishes to a crafty chick. Hello section. We have now been joined by Nigeria in the United Nations of Crafting. Hello Nigeria. Actually, that could be Stuart. Hi Stuart. Yes, you work in Nigeria, so it might be you. If it's not, say hello and make yourself known. Now, hello to Jolie Lynn, who has done a wonderful autistic scarf in Intarsia. And Gora, who is the postmistress from Katie Morrig Books. She's not really, but I like to think she is. Lace Maven, who has the most shawls I have ever seen on a project page and has given me some good advice about them. Alison1031, who can do brioche stitch. Get her. I still haven't tried it. I will. Lazy Loop, who has drive-by friended me. Yep. Jay Chant, who is brilliant at photographing her work. Very nice. Sarah Monty, alert, alert, we have a designer in our crew. She's a designer, don't you know? Actually, have a look and you can buy some stuff too. It's lovely. And who have joined the group in Ravelry. I actually do really love the chat and your project pages. Also, hello to new Twittery people. Tweet me and I'll say hello and tweet back.
The news.
News section. Drive-by friending. I have been drive-by friended by a few of you now. Rebecca H has done a couple of cabled hats of awesomeness. I am very much liking this. I've still not had any of my cousins of patterns friend me back though. They must have thought I was weird. Although somebody who had favourited one of my jumpers, one of my projects, I had a look at hers and she's called Ray. And I thought, oh, somebody from Caithness. But she's actually in the Falkland Islands. And although she doesn't listen to the podcast, she has done most of the Alice Starmore books and there's just cables everywhere. It's beautiful. So I sent her a message to see why I had friended her and she said that her granny was from Ray. So it was really nice to have a wee chat. Yeah, where was I? Alright, so anyone new, this episode is where you go onto Ravelry and you check out the people tab along the top. Then you scroll down and you'll see other people that have done the same patterns as yourself. I've asked them to be my friend as an experiment, which has not really worked. See how you get on. And if not, drive by me. I'm a friendaholic. 77 now, get me. I've also listened, because it's the Me Show, to my own episodes 1 to 5. Basically to see what I have missed anything, and apart from cringing slightly at the poor editing, and for some reason episode 4 the sound quality was pathetic but the content was actually pretty good. I have to say I did like the fact that they weren't all scripted. If you haven't realised, I do script this, although I type it in the way that I would speak mostly, and it means that when I come to edit it, it doesn't take as long. Also, if the computer crashes before it's saved, as it has done quite a few times, I have it ready just to reread. And also, I can only record after the bairns have gone to bed, and so I've got slightly limited time to do it. I had thought about doing a bit of free flow for this blather, but when it came to it, I've time managed myself into scripting it again. And I don't want to forget things, so I write them down. Also, I know I was a lot more into textile art when I started it, and I've come a long way with the knitting. I never thought I would try spinning, never mind have a wheel. So, your homework this week is to think back to March this year and think of all your achievements since then. Whether it's knit a new pattern or style, like a Fair Isle or Cables in the Round, or if you've learnt a new language, you've changed your job, you've had a baby, just whatever it is. Now, take your hand up, put it behind you, pat yourself on the back. Now that's for me. I have changed the podcast a little bit since it started, but I did want it to evolve to become something more than it was anyway. I like the structure of it and I like updating it too, and I do like to know what you like thinking about it as well. I'm wanting to have a linked series of themes next year as well. I had noticed that David Reedy had 3 consecutive episodes called Mind, Body and Spirit, and I thought, oh, that's quite a good idea. So I've built on that and thought about what I could do, and so far I came up with the Mr. Men. Well, they say talk about what you know, and hey, I know all the Mr. Men books. Obviously, if you know the Mr. Men books, they are for children. Hello, I have 2. And they have a moral message in each of them. There's about 49 of them. And they have the likes of Mr. Tickle, Mr. Happy, Mr. Grumpy, Mr. Mean, Mr. Lazy, Mr. Greedy. I was going to use each of them as Blether's theme and include some of the ideas for blathers that people have on Ravelry has suggested and shoehorn them tenuously into them. I'll shoehorn an idea into anything, me. So that's next year blather taken care of, but please still put your questions and suggestions onto the Ravelry group and I will shoehorn them in to whichever Mr. Men suits best. And also the advertising thing I was talking about last week, I did have a little bit of feedback and pretty much went with what I was thinking. I think I do advertise, well, I advertise my own business in this, and I occasionally do focuses on other people's businesses, and if I've had good service, I pass that on. So I think I'm going to stick with that just now. Obviously, it would be really nice if people paid me to do this. Ha! But, no, I started this, and that wasn't the whole point. The whole point was because I had thoughts in my head that I wanted to get out. Whether necessarily you need to hear them or not, I don't know. But I'm not going to go with the advertising route because, I mean, the money to host this, it's not much, and it's all about the craft, man. So we're going to stick with no advertising just now. Right, round robin. Hobby has had a suggestion, and as I'm happy about you all listening from all around the world, he suggested that I organised a round robin of something to go around the world. The idea was we do a bit of whatever the project is in the country that we live in stylee and then pass it on, such as if there were 12 people around the world, we could each start and then do one bit a month until it got back to yourself on the 13th month. I obviously would be all thistles and tartan and all things typically Scottish. And what I'll do is I'll put the suggestions in the show notes and up on the Ravelry group with a thread onto it. I don't know whether it should be a scarf, a blanket, or something else knitted, or a textile piece, so you can put your suggestions on here and if you want to do it in the first place. So, if you are from a country I have mentioned but not piped up, please shout out loud and shout it proud. I'll give it until the 20th of January before getting it started properly, and if you are catching up, you won't be missing out. Yes, I've got to catch up on a few podcasts myself. Because we've been the holidays, I'm slightly out of sync and getting my times to actually listen to anything. And for the podcasts, we're not in a special gang like at school, like somebody said on Ravelry recently. I mention the podcasts that I admire. I don't know them. I just happen to have this podcast as a platform to actually do it instead of the likes of Ravelry where I would just message them. I am a fan of other podcasters as you are. Actually, the person that wrote that isn't a known listener, but you know, just in case you thought that I excluding everybody that isn't a podcaster, because I love you all. I can see into your knitting webcam and get on with it. Come on, Sarah, pick it up.
Scottish segment.
Right, the Scottish segment. This is the New Year 2011 episode for anyone listening out of sync, because I know we do all do. I'll do the Normans next time as I have written it out, but I've copied and pasted it into next episode on account of its New Year. Well, everyone in the world has it, but really, it belongs to Scotland. Did you know that? Because it is. We gave you Auld Lang Syne and Hogmanay is all ours. I'm sure you all know Auld Lang Syne, which is attributed to Robert Burns, who didn't actually write it, all of it. He reinterpreted it from old poems. I bet you didn't know that. It said so on his website, and I think I had known this before, but I'm going to do a bit more about Burns mid-January for his birthday. Edinburgh has the Hogmanay Party of all parties every year, and they do it bigger and better than the year before. There are fireworks from the Castle Esplanade, a big street party, a rock concert in Princes Street Gardens, and a torchlight procession. They do it pretty well, and Edinburgh lets its hair down on that night in style. This year, the headliners are Biffy Clyro, and special guest stars are my favourite, the Charlatans, which is very, very cool. I'm very jealous. So typically, Scotland likes a drink or two of the hard stuff. A New Year is good enough reason as any to do get down and party. Well, we did give you whiskey and bagpipes. Some of us actually like them in Scotland. What traditionally happened after the bells, which is the stroke of midnight, first footing would start. You would go around your neighbours and your friends with your bottle of whiskey, your black bun cake, your shortbread, your lump of coal and your lump of salt. Or a mixture of some of them. It was said that you wished for a tall, dark, handsome man bearing gifts, and this would give your household fortune for the year ahead. The bottle of whiskey is, of course, for hospitality. The shortbread also. The black bun is a fruit and pastry cake, and I have a recipe for it. I've got a link, which it says it should be made in a few weeks in advance. Oops, considering Hogmanay is tomorrow night, I think we're a bit stuffed. However, I did see that you can buy them in Tesco's, so get your black bun in Tesco's. Every time I think of black bun, I remember the comic book The Bruins, where Ma Bruin sends the bairn for the black bun, and she comes back with a black bunny rabbit. The salt was for preserving any food you had, because salt is a luxury item back in the day. And coal was to keep you warm, and as most houses were coal-fired or peat-fired, it was very important to have coal for the fire. Scots have a saying, which is, "Lang me your lum reek," which means that you will always have a fire in your hearth and money to make the fire in the first place. I write this on people's wedding cards, because it means you have good fortune in the years ahead. In Oban, they have a tradition that all the boats toot their horns at midnight, and you open the door to let the old year out and the late the new year in and listen to the boats. Also in Scotland, we have not one, but two bank holidays over the New Year. And I was pretty sure that Scotland only recently, as 1950s or 60s, got to take Christmas Day off, but they always had New Year's Day off, but I can't seem to find it on the internet. I think I've seen it on the telly, and I've spoken to people that in the water board where I used to work, and the old timers, I'm sure I remember them saying this. However, people do still work, like the water board, and who are having a very busy time of it. I saw my old mucker, Peter Farrer, on the telly yesterday, and I wish them all the best, because I know that it is a hard time. Poor Northern Ireland this year, they're having an awful time with burst pipes. Right, so I've got to digress there. That bit wasn't scripted, could you tell? So that's the tradition all over Scotland, and it's common to see people wandering about with a plastic bag that clunks when they're walking. It is not as common now, certainly not in the country, because drink driving being rightly frowned upon. It seems to be the done thing to go to a street party. The organisers put on bands in the town square and pipe bands, and if you're lucky they have fireworks, and there's always a massive ring of people crossing their arms doing auld lang syne and a mass kiss after the bells. That's always good fun. They have them planned in Wick and Thurso this year. And there are often parties at the village halls too, so look locally to find out. I know that May Hall is opening in its doors, so everybody is piling in there, and it's a really lovely hall, and it'll be good crack. There are many, 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 many more traditions in Scotland, and it varies from area to area. On TV, we get to watch the Edinburgh Street Party, and then they get decamped to a studio somewhere, and they have Phil Cunningham and Ali Bean playing away. It's generally as good as you make it, and you can party right through from the 31st to the 2nd. You can see the bells in and go to bed. I've got bairns getting me up at 6 a.m. just now, so guess what I'll be doing this year. Of course, once you're in someone's house, you have a dram. That's a drink of something. And a blether. You know, that's me talking. Blether in. And a wee dance. And more often than not, it's a ceilidh, which is a Scottish country dancing. And if there isn't a resident accordion or fiddle player, then a CD of Brenda McPhee would just do fine. The furniture will get pushed back, and even some people wear kilts and they have a right good boogie. And it negates the alcohol, you know. And there, I was thinking about, because obviously you lot will be having New Year as well. It isn't just Scotland that happens. Although we party better than you lot do. I've worked out that Granny G, Good Girl Saturday and Leafy Dragon and Taffafail will see it first. Then it's Melanedry in Italy. Then it's All Us in the UK. And then it goes through to Anne-Marie in New York. Okay, we're going through, and there's too many of you to mention here, really. Maryland, Philly, Fredale in South Carolina, Michigan, Wisconsin, LP Star in our twin city of Roseville, Minnesota. We've also got Acanthus and Susan in Duluth. Missouri, Texas, and Amarillo, the west coast of USA. There's oodles of you there. And ending up with our friends Gaius Colours and Yarn Salad in British Columbia. So at some point in the day, one of us will be getting down and partying, and I will raise a glass of whatever I have to you all. Thank you for sharing this year with me. So anyway, Hogmanay is Scottish, and just you enjoy that. Obviously because you listen to me, therefore you can, and you know what to do now. So go for it. I expect to hear some report back. Caithness Textile Artist. Obviously, Caithness Textile Artist is known just now because it's the holidays. But the book review I have, and I've been meaning to put this in for the past 3 episodes because I've had the book out of the library for a while, is Rennie McIntosh Inspirations in Embroidery by Dorothy Wood. I have this book out from the library again. I've had it out twice already, which kind of makes me want to buy it. And I know a few of my textile artists have borrowed this, and it seems to stay in Wick. It's published by BT Batsford, and it retails in at $17.99. $24.95 US and $37.95 Canadian. Ow! Ouch, Canadians. $38! Here, if you want it, I'll buy and post it to you. What the price? And I thought Rennie McIntosh was global, so I'm not so sure why it was so expensive. Maybe the publishing house isn't so good over with you. See, then I looked it up on Amazon for what it's going for, and it's going $23 US and £46 in Britain. But that's new. You can get it for £5 second hand. And I think I would go with that. So, £46. Good grief. Now, the back of the book says that Charles Rennie McIntosh and the Glasgow style of 1880 to 1920 produced some of the most famous and enduring decorative art designs. This workbook interpreted the stunning motifs of McIntosh and the Glasgow style in embroidery, dyed and quilted textiles. The Glasgow style was positioned historically between arts and crafts movement and Art Nouveau at the end of the 19th century, Art Deco and Modernism at the beginning of the 20th century. I like Art Deco and this in particular and Clarence Clough. That's not in what it says at the back, that's just my bit. Rennie Mackintosh was particularly well known for his Glasgow Rose and the squares and lattices, which lends itself very well to embroidery and quilting. Not so much for knitting, and there's no groups in Ravelry, which I am surprised at, actually. This book is a workbook which will take you through designs and techniques, and it marries them up, giving you projects and inspirational suggestions. It has a good history of Charles Rennie Mackintosh. If you have any knowledge of Glasgow and the central belt of Scotland, you will already recognise his work and maybe have a piece of jewellery in his style. I have some earrings and a necklace, and I would love more, hint hint, oh hubby of mine, if you are listening, because he has been. Now, that reminds me, I have no craft fairy this section, this episode, as she's hibernating until the snow problem has passed us all. I am sorry to you New Yorkers for that mental snowstorm last week. I had some serious words with her, because I think Daisy let her out. She thought it was another Christmas present from Santa. Oh! Now, Daisy is scared of Santa. She was terrified of him at Christmas party, bless her. So I finally found something that the bairn is scared of. I digress there. But Rennie Mackintosh and this book. It has got a beautiful pink cover, which I like. The pictures are quite comprehensive and quite well photographed. There are sketches, diagrams and photographs and lots of suggestions showing some people's finished projects, which is quite inspirational. They even have a page of textile techniques, which was nice. There are a lot in here too. Some of you will now be familiar with and some we still need to talk about. When I think of Charles Rennie Mackintosh, I think of his squares and lattice designs, and I was very interested to read here that there were two schools of thought of how he created the distinctive pattern. I wish they'd asked them. On one hand, it could have been from the street maps of his home city, which was built on the grid system in the Telford style. Or it may have come from Japan, which is from the shoji paper screen found in most Japanese homes. I had wondered if he had travelled there, but then he explains that because Glasgow was a major trading port, it had close links with the Orient, and the Japanese art and influences were very popular. I actually prefer the grid street pattern idea because Telford's first town he designed was Caithness's very own Pulteney Town in Wick Southside, where my own granny was born. Therefore, I own it, right? It's all about me. No, I've not been drinking. The book suggests that you go to study in person some of the places that Rennie Mackintosh has designed, such as the Willow Tea Rooms in Glasgow. Obviously this might not be possible, even for me, and I really only live up the road, but you will get plenty of inspiration online if you look. There's a comprehensive materials and equipment section at the back of the book. Techniques are described enough for me to be able to do them, and has a good account of some very important part of Scottish art history. If you're any way interested in textile art or Rennie Mackintosh, then this book, I'd say, is for you. The textile technique this week is on working with water-soluble fabric. What is that, you may wonder? Water-soluble? What's that for? Haha. Well, this technique is for creating a structure and letting light through into the design behind. You use the water-soluble fabric to create something and then dissolve the fabric, leaving only stitches behind. In the aforementioned book, they make a lattice box using this technique. I mentioned it last episode because Helen at Textile Artist was using it to make a circle of enclosed threads. I'm going to do it myself to make some white horse sea foam for my big project of last year. Right, what you need is sewing machine, threads, water-soluble fabric, pins and a flat piece of polystyrene such as you get for packing. I believe that you get two kinds of water-soluble fabric, one that dissolves in hot water and one that dissolves in cold water. And you get different thicknesses of it as well. The main point to this technique is making sure that all the design crisscrosses over itself. If you have bits of thread that are not crossed over, then it will unravel when the paper is dissolved because it's got nothing to hold on to. So what you do is you work out the main lines of the design and you work these several times so they create a lattice required to make the design, such as the box mentioned. Create the structure to hold it together. It recommends working one of the foundation rows in zigzag stitch or weave it gently across the stitching once or twice to catch in the side threads. Once you're finished, you pin the piece to a flat piece of polystyrene and then you rinse it under water and then leave it to dry. The fabric should dissolve, leaving you with a lattice piece of work. Water-soluble fabric, Done, a la Gordon Ramsay. Right, on to me, because it's the me show, of course. I've been knitting this past week. I did my bit on Jenny's round robin scarf, and I handed it on to Lisa, who now also has Sarah's one as well, so she will be busy. I figured out what to do on Rachel's, but it involves doing spinning. I'm also still fiddling with attention on my joy, as there has been no spinning guild meetings to ask for hands-on help, but I'll get there. I finished spinning up the blue stuff after a wee fight with the wheel. It's not very well spun. This was for the herringbone neck warmer. Well, I knitted up the extra yarn and, no, there wasn't enough, not nearly enough, so I ripped it out. Well, actually, Mother did that for me. I said, oh, I better rip it out. I'll do it tomorrow, because it was quite late on Christmas Eve, and she says, I quite like doing that, get out of here. Off she went. She ripped it out, and then I had a big blue ball of wool. And on the way down to Oban, I then cast on 16 stitches instead of the 20, and I'm using size 15mm needles. And I don't think it's going to be long enough yet, although it's tidier this time and the pattern is more distinct. So, do I rip it out and do 14 stitches, or ideas in a postcard? I don't know. Whilst we were in Oban, we went to the pub with a friend and a brother, and I decided to do some public knitting. I was driver, I drank coffee and hot chocolate. And Mum laughed and laughed and laughed at this. I did get a few strange looks, and she said, I've never heard of anybody going to the pub, knitting and drinking hot chocolate before. I was being cosmopolitan. In Oban. Doesn't go in the same sentence, really. Anyway, I did manage a good 40 centimetres, and I wasn't actually all that bothered about people looking at me. I was doing the gusset for my North Ronaldsay wool handbag. I had cast on 8 stitches and thought garter stitch would be strong, so I have knitted enough to do the 3 sides. But now, this is the normal Louise way, I'm coming to do the strap, and the yarn I've got left is getting less. So, decision. Now I could rip this back and do 4 stitches and get a longer strap, or I could just do this gusset and put a wooden handle in it, or I could use the gusset as the handle and not have a gusset at all. I know I'll need to line it and block it, that's for sure. So, decisions. Life is never easy when you're Louise. Right, Wizard of Oz swap. Oh, did I not realise I had to make something when I signed this one up? But I have managed to win some Nora Blossom Aran Waite wool from the Vimto party night, and I think I'm going to make some fingerless gloves for my Wicked Witch of the West swap. Obviously, the old witch would need warm hands. I'm wanting to put in yarn for a shawl to be made, and Angora and Lace Maven have given me some good ideas and advice on this. Thank you to them. Check out Angora's green shawl and just basically stand back in amazement and look at all Lace Marvin's ones. There's millions of them. I've never seen so many shawls on one page. She says they're so easy. You lot are brilliant, honestly. Take that compliment and keep it in your pocket, and I mean that. So, anyway, I'm thinking about what to do. So, I was thinking about what to get for the swap, because I think you obviously have to put little other things in as well. So, I was thinking about some handmade Scottish soap. And then I remember that the Wicked Witch of the West dissolves in water. Better no soap then. Maybe an umbrella. I've got a couple of tartan ones that I don't really use. I can't find them, so I'll go and get one when I get shopping for this. I was very good, and I didn't go yarn shopping in Oban. Mainly because I had the family with me and the shop was shut. Well, the family moan and the bairns are too little to go in, so it's not a good look. Has any of you joined in? The next swap is what you would find in Dorothy's basket. I don't know if I'm going to do that one or not, but I've just found it quite interesting. Plus, I've learned a lot about shawls, and the craft fairy delivered me 2 people about it, which I thought was good. Oh, and Freydale would quite like some craft fairy stuff. She didn't specifically say what, but I think that she deserves something. So I've let her out of the crayon box for 10 minutes, and if she does any more snow, I am locking her away until June. Okay? No fairies were harmed in this presentation. Right, my lemon card present was very well received. I wouldn't let Mum listen to the last episode until she had received the lemon card. I've put the recipe onto a Ravelry group if you want it. It is so easy, because I can do it. But mind you, mine didn't really set very thick, but it was very, very tasty. I have since bought limes, and you can also do it with oranges. so at last I have found something I can do. Also, little Daisy helped enormously until she cut herself with the knife. Yes, I know, poor bairn. Bad mother award goes to me. She was delighted with the plasters, but still, you know. Mum giggled away through the last episode, and then my interview with Susan Dolph. She asked if there was a train going past Susan, but really that's just the way the Skype recorded. It was such a shame that the sound quality wasn't better, but I can still listen to it and enjoy it, like I have done at least 3 times, maybe 4. Anyway, hello to everyone who has found me through this interview. Welcome to Keith Nace, and that's me. Okay, thank you for listening, and if you want to contact me, please do so on Ravelry as Louise J. Hunt, or Sajine Fingers as Louise Hunt, or kathiscraftcollective@googlemail.com, or leave a comment on the Podbean webpage. And if you notice it's got 5 stars, it's me. I've been clicking. Nobody else does but me. You can get me on iTunes, and I note that there are reviews in there. Thank you very much, but I never ever look at that page. It's just really shocking, but I do appreciate them. Or on www.keithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com and on Twitter as keithnesscraft. All the links are on the show notes, so go there and click anything you want more information on or get in touch with myself. Now, the music playing us out in full this week is Auld Lang Syne, which is the alternative version mixed in with Pasha Bell's Canon, and I think it's beautiful. It's quite hard to keep in your head with it being such a well-known song, but with a different tune. I love it, and I hope you do too. And all remains for me now to say is Lang may your lum reek, a good new year to one and all, and many more ye see.
In old acquaintance be forgot, and never brought at mind. Should old acquaintance be forgot, or all rhymes thine. For all lang syne, my jo, for all lang syne, we'll tak a cup of kindness yet, for all lang syne, which why run about the graves and pour the goings fine. With all the glory we've been, send all lang syne, for all lang syne, my jo, for all lang syne, we'll tak a cup of kindness yet, for all lang syne. So here's a hand, my trusty dear, and here's a hand, oh, thine. We'll tell her every one, for all lang syne, for all lang syne, my joy, for all lang syne. Tak a cup of kindness yet, for all lang syne.
Cheers for listening and keep on crafting.